My name is Chris. I have a new life in Jesus Christ, and I am recovering from fear of man and lust. Hey, guys, let's pray real quick. God, you are good. Thank you that you give us a place we can gather in your name and a place that is peaceful and not full of hostility. Will you teach us from your word? Will you teach us from your spirit? And I thank you for the thousands of stories that are going to be told tonight that hopefully point back to you as the giver and creator of all life. It's in your name, amen. So I grew up in a church-going home with two loving and involved parents. My dad would launch baseballs into the evening sky for me and my brother to catch until they were too pale to see anymore. He taught me to love barbecuing and everything about Texas A&M. My dad was always available. The most significant lesson from my childhood was that my parents believed in me. The affirmation of my earthly father remains a great example of my heavenly father to this day. At age 13, I went to a summer camp and realized I'd sinned against God since my youth, and my sin would cost me death. Because God loves me, Jesus, God's own son, traded places with me on a splintered cross so that he would take my judgment and I could receive his grace. I was all fired up knowing I was clean of all my sin and thought everything was going to be different. But my experience back home had been about being a good kid with manners. The same year I was saved, I discovered porn on the internet. Satan has a way about snatching the good seed as quickly as it's sown. Because my new life in Jesus had no roots, I felt ashamed and hid my porn addiction. Multiple times I was caught looking at porn but had no appreciation for God's great design for us with sex. Secret porn behind doors grew to compulsive lying about everything. Growing up through high school, I entered into promiscuous relationships with girls to make me feel like a man. As long as I had someone to fool around with behind doors and arm candy in public, I thought I had it made. Those relationships would always end in deep frustration or sadness. As a teenager, I'd miss God's plan for how men should honor and protect women, and instead I used them for my passions. I'd miss the rescue of the gospel to help me resist sexual sin, an obscure Jesus teaching in Matthew 5 that says, even to dwell on a woman lustfully is the equivalent to committing adultery. I was an adulterer thousands of times over. I left for college with a porn addiction that went up to 3 times a day, broken trust with my parents, and desperate need to be affirmed by people. In college, I started drinking excessively on the weekends just to feel accepted by others, to feel like I had a place, and it would numb the void in my life for a few hours at a time. Shortly after college, I arrived back at Watermark one Sunday morning, and man, I was a wreck. In God's goodness, one of the very first men I became friends with shared openly about how God had forgiven him and was healing him from decades of sexual wreckage. Say what? I had to check the sign to make sure we were still in church. God used this timely friend and a Bible study on campus here called Equip Disciple to establish depth to my relationship with Jesus that had never been there and to chip away at years of addiction to other gods. A few years later, I fell in love with someone I never saw coming. She hung affirmation around my neck and gave me daily encouragement that I was making progress in life. What's her name? Most people call her the Marathon, but after about 20 miles, I would have other choice names for her. Now, don't hear me saying that all fitness is bad, or if you're a dedicated endurance athlete, that disqualifies you from being a follower of Christ. In fact, the Apostle Paul uses the analogy in 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. My hang-up with Miss Marathon was that her medals and euphoria after finishing a race took the place of a greater prize, being significant in God's eyes. He holds a crown for me that won't rust. One afternoon, from the physical stress of pushing my body to the limits, I started having heart palpitations, which led to many months of unexplained panic attacks, dizziness, and constant anxiety. Although all the doctors that I saw said my vitals were just fine and everything checked out normal, at times I literally thought I was going to die. It was crazy. My inability to find center of gravity again drove me to Regen. The first night at Regen, I was amazed at how excited the leaders were to boast in their weaknesses. Again, while they trumpeted the hope in Jesus. This is not your grandma's church, man. Step one was pretty glaring for me. In step one, we learn we are powerless over our addictions, brokenness, and sinful patterns, that in our own power, our lives are unmanageable. There was no denying that. My body and mind did not agree with the truth that I read at times, but thank God I had an army of friends and community group who lifted my eyes from looking at my toes to looking my Heavenly Father in the face. Praise God. In step five, we confess to God, ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our sin. Let's go. My mentor listened to me describe years of self-medicating with sex, alcohol, and personal achievement without even flinching. While I'd been looking for love in all the wrong places, my friend encouraged me with, the only significance that matters in God's eyes is your worth by Jesus' death on that cross. John 15:9 says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Can you believe God's love for you is perfectly equivalent to his love for Jesus? That is absolutely amazing. What God has done through humbling me and shaping me in regen is also amazing. I came to regen tired and worn out inside. He's shown me more joy and even laughter, I tell you, in daily prayer with him when I trust his direction. A year ago, I was let go from a job that I worked. There was a widespread layoff at my work, but because God had taught me to talk with him hour by hour through regen, he used a playful joke my son made the day before layoffs to show me how silly it is to worry. He'd prepared me. Losing a job is tough, but I was certain Jesus hadn't lost track of me, and I got to smile that day and boast in his grace. It was awesome. The change in how I view others has been significant too. God's spirits compel me to be obedient in ways I would have run from before. He's prompted me to confess gossip to coworkers, admit lust early, tell others when I've been condemning them inwardly, admit and repent from fits of rage with my kids, make amends with people I've taken advantage of. The list goes on. You might say, Chris, why bother admitting all those hidden sins? Nobody has to know. 1 John 1:6-7 says this, if we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. End quote. If the blood of Jesus purchases our salvation, confession and repentance are a means to the enjoyment of his daily presence. It helps us draw near. In marriage, God's taken huge ground too. I shared with you how in my youth I would build emotional trust with girls just to get sex from them. The Spirit showed me that even though he's cheering us on towards intimacy and marriage, I was still playing that goofy old teenage game. I would give my wife back rubs, pick up chores, bear extra kid responsibility, and she wouldn't always notice. I'd literally go to sleep resenting her and feeling sorry for myself. It's exhausting. To shake things up, a brother in community challenged me to write up a set of birthday coupons that she had 365 days to redeem. They ranged from radical date ideas, unique ways that I could serve her, and so on. The catch was this. I needed to serve Ellen with no strings attached. I've known Ellen 17 years, but what she actually desired ended up surprising me. I honestly had a blast rediscovering what matters most to my bride, and especially since we've added two kids to our house. A lot has changed. Lastly, the unexpected panic attacks and constant worry I walked in the door with to regen have vastly reduced. Similar to how, if you think of how the radiance of the sun evaporates water after it rains, walking in the light of God's good presence just removes the reasons we worry about things. The most important thing I can share with you tonight is Jesus is alive. He's the King of Kings, and he loves you. If this is your first night, please know we all brought in a past, but I thank God he offers power to change daily and exquisite hope for the day that we will meet him face to face. My name is Chris. I have a new life in Jesus Christ, and I'm recovering from lust and fear of man. I praise God for every bit of transformation he's made in my life. Thank you.